I thank you this morning for letting me be here. And to be very honest with you, I'm a bit hesitant to try to introduce anything more than what you've heard. I appreciate the wonderful message that we've heard. I appreciate the introductory remark from my good friend, Brother Harry. I said this before in his absence and in his presence too. I remember hearing him preach a sermon at the Union Church at Woodville, Alabama, that every once in a while would just come back and ring around in my mind. Same with this man who's been called of God and Brother I'm getting old, Brother Rick. I don't know that long, hang on. But I wanted to go another direction. I reckon that's what's got me kind of befuddled. I wanted to go now. I've got all turned around. Now I've heard these people get up and say, well, I just didn't know what I was going to get up until I got up here. Well, that's not my case. I'll be honest with you, I have to think about what I'm going to say before I say it. I've said things I ought to say, but I'm not going to tell you. I just didn't study before I got here because I did.
Yeah.
I did. I'm obligated to do that, I think. I've sort of turned it around, and I may get back to it if I don't. Well, you've already heard preaching this morning. Now, the reason I thought about that while he was preaching, I thought about this because every morning, a group of us men, before we go to work, we got a place we go with Fort Payne around the table, and we work out every problem that the world has and discuss everything and the remedy we have for every problem that's going on in our many and varied communities in our state and our nation. Now, if you don't believe that, you can get the answer to everything about 7:30 every morning. And I'm serious about that. But the other morning, we were there, and of course, first and foremost, the coronavirus came up, you know, and what all we were having to do that we didn't want to do. And one gentleman that was there, a very kind gentleman, a gracious and godly man, said, well, the Bible's being fulfilled every day. Now, you've heard that.
Yeah.
You know, I began to think about that. How the Bible, he said the Bible's being fulfilled every day. And I'm going to pose this question to you today. And then I'm going to go on with my thought. Is there anything that has not been fulfilled in the scripture that would prevent the Lord from coming back? Not one thing. Not one thing. We're not waiting on something to be fulfilled in order that the Lord can return the second time without sin unto salvation.
Yeah.
We're not waiting on that. Now, when Jesus began to preach and he began to go through his earthly ministry, and I'll expedite this as quickly as I can, but the disciples had a question for him. In Matthew chapter 24, I want you to notice what he says here. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Now remember, they're discussing the temple and what it was and what it meant.
Yeah.
Now, you remember this, that the nation of Israel, as blessed as they were, worshiped the temple more than they did the creator of the temple.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was their crime. That was their ongoing sin.
Yes, it was.
If I can say it that way. And so they are discussing the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, that's the disciples now, see ye not all these things? That's the question. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he said upon the Mount of Olives, this is called the Olivet Discourse, and the disciples came to him privately. That means by themselves. There wasn't a multitude there, but they came to him privately, and they began to question him about the signs of his coming. Now listen to this. Saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and listen to this part now, and of the end of the world.
Yeah.
All right? Now, they began to question him about the end of the world. Now, men today in the Armenian camp and many other places will tell you that the signs that we see today are only evidences that the Bible is being fulfilled and the end of the world is nigh. Well, that may be so. That's above my pay grade to tell you that I know when the end of the world is going to come. I don't know this, but I know this much about it. We've been one step closer to the end of the world since Jesus went back than we ever have been.
Sure. Yeah.
We're closer today than we were yesterday.
Right.
I know that much about it. Common sense will not permit otherwise. But now he says, they say, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? I want you to understand something today. Every time the end of the world is mentioned in the Bible, it does not mean the end of this physical world.
That's right.
Now, I believe there's going to come an end to it.
Yeah.
God is the creator. Man, and he just told you this, he talks about authority. We as men do not have the authority to destroy what God created.
Right.
God destroyed that himself. He holds that and reserves that to himself. Men cannot do that. But here he says, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? The word end here, of course, talks about a finality. But the word world here, literally and physically and actually in every language means age.
Yeah.
What is going to be the sign of thy coming and of the end of this age that we live in?
Yes.
You remember when Jesus talked to them about the sin against the Holy Ghost, the sin against the Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Sin against the Holy Spirit? He said, it will not be forgiven you in this world, nor the world to come. At the time he told them that, he was talking to Jews, and it was a sin that they were committing, and it was not negating eternal salvation, but what they were doing were not going to be forgiven them under the age of the law that they were under, neither would it be forgiven them under grace of the new dispensation.
Right.
Now I'll give you that and I'll charge you for it this morning. Now he says this, what's going to be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? All right, now this world's going to come to an end. This age is going to come to an end.
Yeah.
A lot of folks ask the idea, it's just like turning off one light and turning on another. That wasn't so. It took a generation for that to pass.
Yeah.
That old practice began to creep in again and again, and it raised its head, and it still does today. All right, listen to it now. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, and they did, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars, but see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. All right? Now what he's telling them was that there was going to be a tribulation that was going to come upon that generation.
Yes.
And it did come on that generation.
Right.
Somebody says, we live in the worst times we've ever lived in. That's not so. That's not going to, we do live in perilous times, I understand that. But the Bible says during this day, in that is Jesus' Olivet discourse, he said there was never another time like it, nor ever would be. That's how terrible the time was. Those times, there's a time element involved in everything in the scripture, and don't you forget.
Yeah.
There's a time element involved. All right, now listen. He says this, for nation shall rise against nation, and it did, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, earthquakes, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All of these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you. You who? The disciples.
Yeah.
All right? That was going to literally take place.
Yeah.
And it did. And you'll be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And many shall be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many, because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Yeah.
But now I want you to listen to this. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Yeah.
Now, is that talking about the day and time which we live? You got more sense than that.
Right.
He was talking about these folks that were going to endure through this tribulation, right. These folks who were going to endure through this affliction, right. These folks who were going to suffer what he had told them they would. He said, if you, and here's where the Calvinist and here's where the perseverance people come in with this. You to understand today that there was an enduring to the end that must take place in their lives if they were to be saved from the tribulation that was coming on that generation.
Right.
Now, to you children that are here today, don't let these professors of religion scare you with their hell-scared religion. God don't want your hell-scared religion. You hear me? We don't serve God because we're afraid he's going to send us to hell. We serve God because he saved us from our sins.
Yeah.
Through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see? All right now. We settled on that, and I want you to listen to this now. The same shall be saved if he endures to the end. And if that's talking about eternal salvation, brother, we got problems.
Amen.
We got problems. If that's talking about eternal salvation, you got a problem because you ain't going to endure. If you got to endure to the end, I got more problem you got, but I done dropped the ball too many times. A lot has to be justified some way. Somebody said, poor old Moses. Isn't it sad that he never did get to enter the land of Canaan? I'm going to tell you something, brother. That old man got a better look than me and you ever will. Yes, sir. He carried him up the top of the mountain, and he looked over there.
Yeah.
He looked over there. He really did. He saw it.
Yeah.
He got a better look than me and you ever will. Listen now to it. And here's what I want to get to. Now, if there's anything that has to be fulfilled in order for the Lord to come back, then I want to tell you, I don't know what it is, but let me read this to you right here. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, brother, if this is talking about eternal salvation, if this is talking about the gospel being preached in all the world, a witness unto all nations, then we got to say God's in bondage because men aren't getting this message out.
Right.
You hear?
Right.
That's what we've got to agree to. But I'm going to tell you right now, God's not in bondage to any man.
That's right.
Brother David, I told you about Abraham. I don't want you to give yourself too much credit. We say Abraham exercised his faith, and I'll agree to that. I'm not going to argue with you about it. But I want to tell you the first principle was that faith exercised Abraham.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Amen.
Understand that. You need to understand that. Don't give yourself too much credit about exercising faith. The only reason that you exercise faith is that faith exercises you in the beginning.
Right.
That's the only reason.
That's right.
You all right? Now, Bible says this gospel shall be preached in all, shall be preached, not may be preached.
Right.
But this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Now I want you to understand today, I affirm that the gospel was preached in all the world.
Yes, yes.
I affirm that the gospel was preached to every nation.
Amen.
Under consideration of this text.
Yes.
All right, now, going into Colossians chapter 1, we begin to verse 23. Look at what the Bible says here, Colossians 1 and 23. The Bible says this, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which was preached that every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister.
Yes.
All right? This is what Jesus said in Mark 16, 15, and 16. He said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Mm-hmm.
According to this text, it takes two things to be saved. No. Believing and baptism.
Right.
Takes two things.
Yeah.
If it's talking about eternal salvation, the work of Christ not mentioned here, is it?
Right.
Not, no. It's not mentioned here. But I'll tell you what is mentioned here. In this salvation takes two things. Believing and being baptized. You know, that's the reason we today we believe in believer's baptism.
Right.
Believer's baptism.
Yeah.
Somebody walks up and say, well, I think I'm a pretty good fellow. The church needs me.
Yeah.
You know, we ain't going to take it.
No.
We ain't going to take it. I'll tell you what. When we can see one come up and tell what great things the Lord has done for him, faith has exercised him to exercise that faith and see himself for what he really is. And I'll tell you right now, then you'll see a man that is a fit subject for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to tell you, Brother Rick, I believe there's people that have been members of the church that have really never entered the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I believe that.
Yes, sir.
I believe you can be a baptized member and call yourself a Primitive Baptist and never enter the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
You know why? Because to enter the kingdom of God is a spiritual experience.
That's right.
It is not physical.
Right.
This morning, all the devils in hell could make me believe that we hadn't entered the kingdom of God right here this morning.
Amen. Amen. Right.
I've been to church and not entered the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah.
Been as dead as a hammer. The Spirit of God wasn't in a half a mile of the place. No, sir. But I'll tell you, in this upper room, if you want to call it, we have entered the kingdom of God. It is something that is spiritual.
Yeah.
It is not something that is spiritual. It is not something that is physical. It is something that you feel. And you can contemplate that in that new heart and not with an eyesight that is blurred with the things of this world. Now,
right.
I'm telling you right now, the gospel was preached in all the world.
Yeah.
The gospel was preached in all the world because he said it shall be preached in all the world.
Yeah.
And when that gospel was preached in all the world, then through that generation, all these things, the Bible said, this generation, not the one before, the one after, but this generation, that generation that he talked to, like children playing in the marketplace, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So there's not one thing left that's got to be fulfilled in order to prohibit the Lord from making his second advent without sin unto salvation. Now, I want you to notice what the terminology this is again. And I'm going to let you go in about 10 minutes, all right? All right, now. Jesus talked to his disciples again. Brother David read it. After Jesus has made these first statements, after he's risen from the grave, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake to them, to the same ones he spoke to at Mount Olive, on the altar of Mount, on the Olivet Discourse, the disciples. And said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name You know what that means? By the authority of. Baptizing them in the name, or by the authority of, the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And listen, and lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. Amen. The end of the world again. What that word means? Age. To these 11, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now there was a difference in these that Jesus spoke to and those that come after. There was a difference in Paul and Timothy. You know why? Because what Paul preached, he got it direct, brother. He did not study about it. He couldn't pass that on to Timothy. What little Timothy knew, he had to bring it out. And Paul told him, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God a workman.
Amen.
That needed not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. There were men that, as long as one apostle lived, heresy could be got out of the church. He said, I've walked with the Lord. I've heard him speak. This is wrong. Get it out. But when that last apostle died, that's when you began to see heresy multiply. They were always entering in, but there were those there to combat it because they had walked with the Lord.
Right.
They heard him speak. But when that last apostle died, you find out that heresy began to creep in, and then it's been there ever since. But lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. You see? So here it is again. All right, the end of the age. I'm going to tell you today that there's the end of the world coming, but I want you to also understand that the end of that age came. The end of that age came. Now let me prove it to you, and I'm going to do this in 7 minutes, all right? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, and verse 26, I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul preaches here, and listen to the terminology that he uses concerning Christ. For then must he, that is Christ, the one that offered himself as the high priest, for then must he offered have suffered since the foundation of the world. Brother, I want to tell you, when our Lord died on the cross, it wasn't any surprise that they spit on him. It wasn't any surprise that he himself went through what he did. That was all described back then. But listen now to what it said. He suffered. He then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now listen now. But now once in the end of the world. Here? The end of that age. That's when he appeared. In the end of that age, the law, Mosaic of economy, then must he have offered, suffered often since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice himself. You see, he talked about those priests, and they entered once into the holy place, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. By reason of age, they died. They had to be replaced. And there was an order that God said about that. There was an order. But I want to tell you, when Jesus Christ came, it wasn't an accidental thing. The Bible says, and you read it in Matthew 22 or Luke 23, and you can read it there when he spoke to those people there, unto this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. He appeared once in the end of that age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
Right.
And God was so satisfied with it that it never had to be done again.
Right.
Never will have to be done again.
Amen.
But it came to an end. Those mosaical times came to an end, and all that went with it faded away like an old garment. It passed off the stage. And I want you to understand there's not one thing left that has to be fulfilled. The gospel was preached in all the world. Yeah. The gospel was preached to every preacher. And there, those things were fulfilled in that age. And I want to tell you today that our Lord today could descend right now, yeah, and it wouldn't interrupt his schedule one bit.
That's right.
I heard some of our preachers say one time, I don't know who it was on Teddy, all right? But he said, God took time, Christ took time out of his schedule. I got news for you, my brother. When Christ came, it was right on schedule. He didn't have to take time out of his schedule. You can call me whatever you want to. He was born at the right time, in the right place, in the right way, and did what God commanded him to do. And those men that were around him moved like pawns on a chessboard. Yeah. All these things must be fulfilled that is written in Moses and the prophets concerning me. They must be fulfilled. All right now. One other thing here. Still got 5 minutes. Listen to this. All right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we have a great admonition. And Paul begins that by saying, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. That's no sin to be ignorant. Ignorant just means unlearned. I'm ignorant about a lot of things you all are educated in. No sin to be ignorant. Paul just said, brother, you don't need to be unlearned about this.
Right.
You need to understand this. All right, now listen to what he did. He comes down and he talks about the rock and Moses.
Yeah.
And he tells them in verse 6, he says, now these things were our examples to the intent, or for the reason that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, they did. Neither the idolaters, as some were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted. Now he's not talking about children of the devil, he's talking about children of God.
Yeah.
All right? Neither murder ye. My God, would that be wonderful? Amen. Neither let us murmur, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyed. Now, get the point now. Here it is. All these things happened unto them for ensamples. That is examples. That is the reason. They are written, we got them here, for our admonition.
Yeah.
All right? Upon whom the ends of the world are come. You know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
The purposes of the age.
Mm-hmm.
Check me out. I don't mind you checking it out.
No.
The purpose of the age that they went through was for our admonition.
Yeah.
He preached it to you.
Yes.
God overruled it all. God said it and it was right, whether we understand it or not. Now, God's not the author of sin. We don't believe that. That's repugnant to God. With many of them, God was not well pleased. But I want to tell you, when you begin to read here, upon whom the ends of the world are come, you're going to find out that the purposes of God in that age was for our admonition.
Yeah.
You see? All right. Another place. Then if you want to argue me about this, I'll be all right. It won't hurt you to be wrong. All right. Here you go. All right. 1 Peter chapter 4. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. He did that.
Yeah.
Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. You know, I'm following up what I said. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Cool. That he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men or before the lust of men, but unto the will of God. I mean, this is plain. But I want you to notice now, beginning with verse 5, I'm going to skip some of this. for this cause. You began to read up there about the idolaters and those that lived and lied and speaking evil of you. Who shall give account unto him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Now what does this say? This tells me that God Almighty, that Christ, who died in the flesh, is ready to judge the quick, that is the alive and the dead.
Yeah.
Alright? This is going to be the most important thing I say this morning. We'll wind it up right here. For this cause the gospel was the gospel preached. For this cause was the gospel preached also unto them that are dead. You hear that? This says the gospel, for this cause, this reason, the gospel was preached unto them that are dead. Now do you think that's talking about the corporeally dead? Read a little further. That they might be judged according to men, all right, in the flesh. These that are dead are being going to be judged according to men in the flesh, but these same ones are going to live according to God in the spirit. So this can't be talking about the corporeally dead. This is not talking about those who are dead in trespasses and in sins. But this is talking about children of God that are separated from the truth, from the gospel. You saying somebody, you mean somebody can be dead and still alive? Well, sure. Father, the son.
Yeah.
Was dead. Bible said he was.
Yeah.
Prodigal son was dead. Talks about one was dead while she lived. Yes, sir. You can read Ephesians 2 and 1. You who were dead in trespassing, you're not dead anymore. But yet you're dead in one sense of the word. There are plenty of God's children that are dead to a knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
They are separated from it. And wherever you find dead in the Bible, I don't care whether it's Greek, Hebrew, English, or Eskimo, it means separated.
That's right.
Every time.
Yes, it will.
That principle won't change.
Right.
He says, for this cause the gospel was preached to them that are dead. They were separated from the truth. You know, I've known some people that have come to the Primitive Baptist who I believe they were dead to the knowledge of the truth. But when the gospel came, you know what? They began to be judged by their own families. I know people who have joined the church and they forfeited the right fellowship with their family. That's the truth.
Yes.
And God blessed them and he judged them as the judge, and he judged them and blessed them right in the middle of all of that. I can tell you stories about it. I know a man right now that he gave up his family and everybody else and joined the church and I baptized. Let me tell you what I did when I was 13 years old. Now, my folks, most of them were something else, and I had a few that were Primitive Baptists. And over in DeKalb County, Alabama, there's been people over there in Cherokee County, for that matter, too, that have gone to the name Primitive Baptist, but in name only. They were in name only. Well, I grew up in one of those in name only. Primitive Baptist was a strange name. But I'll tell you what I did when I was 13 years old. I left my mother. I left my daddy. I left my grandmother. I left my granddaddy. And I joined the Old Line Primitive Baptist. I did that. Do you know what happened? I baptized my mom.
Yeah.
I baptized my daddy. I baptized my dad-in-law, who there's never been a more fierce opponent of a Primitive Baptist than my father-in-law. And one day I looked up, and he, when his son joined the church, he wouldn't even come to the baptism. Down here. Mr. Ross, he was raised a dyed-in-the-wool. He said, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool missionary, and I'll die that way. Well, he did. Did what he said. One day I looked up, not only here he come, here come about four more, now he's a deacon of the church there.
Yeah.
Who was fiercely opposed to even me and his daughter getting married But I want to tell you, I preached the gospel to him who was dead to the truth.
Yeah.
And God judged him and blessed him. All right? Now, that's experience I'm talking about. That's what this means. He was separated and that they might be judged. The gospel was preached to them that were dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh. Now that's right. They'll judge you. Why you won't join that old bunch down there? As quick as Aunt Nancy and Uncle John's gone, they'll all be dead anyway. They ain't nothing left. Now they ain't got nothing for the young people. They ain't got nothing, you know, there's nothing there, nothing left, no excitement. Never have a revival. Let me tell you, I think we have a revival every once in a while, don't you? I'm not afraid of that word.
No.
I know. God knows we need one.
Yes,
sir. We need one. I'm not afraid of that word. You know, the Old Testament, the Bible says, in the book of Ezra, well, thou not revivest again in the midst of our bondage.
Yes.
Don't tell me we're not in bondage. We are in the world, all of us is. But God revive us again in the midst of our bondage. The end of that old world's gone. It's like a blanket in the garment. It's passing away. We got something far better than what that was. Amen. We got something far better than that was. Now listen to what he said. For this cause was the gospel preached to them that are dead, that they, those that were dead, might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But now listen. The end of all things is at hand. The end. All right. The end of all things. Coming to a close now. Here's Peter now. It's coming to an end. I mean, he's not talking about the end of this physical world.
Right.
But all that he was living under and all that he'd been taught, the end of all things was there. It's not coming, it's at hand. When Jesus said, and this, he said, the things concerning me have an end. You know what that meant? The things concerning me have a purpose. Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them, unto this end. Mm-hmm. For a reason. Jesus here, the things concerning me have a purpose.
Right.
But yet Peter said, all that I've been brought up under, all that I've been known to do, and what I've been taught, Paul had the same experience. It's now come to an end, the end of that world. Okay. Listen, you children today, when men come to you and to you young folks and old folks alike, they would say, well, all the signs just point to the Lord's return. Well, that may be right. I don't know. They don't either. But I will tell you one thing today. If the Lord comes back today, it won't change one thing. You hear me? It'll be right on schedule, right on God's plan. It's his intent to do what he intended to do. He brought all of that to an end that you and I might have something better. And the gospel we have today is the best word that we can hear. Yeah. It doesn't come from Fox News. It didn't come from this. But I want to tell you right now, Jesus, and listen, this same fellow said to me, Jesus was a created being. I want to tell you right now, Jesus was not a created being, but Jesus was the creator. He cannot be the created and be the creator at the same time.
That's right.
Gospel of John tells me, without him was not anything made that was made. You see? Now, I've spread this out over a lot. I want you to take it and measure. But you read this. I don't have time. I could be here all day. But you read this about the end of the world. You put it in its right time frame.
Yeah.
Put it in its right time frame. It'll fit.
Yeah.
It'll fit. It really will. Unto this end was I born. Those things came to an end. Like an old garment. Now, I'm going to tell you one of these days, Lord's going to say it's enough. It's going to be over with.
Right.
You hear me? Amen. A lot of folks got all, you know, Jesus coming down here and sitting down here. He's going to have to give everybody a chance to get right. It's not right, man. Mm-hmm. All that kind of thing. I'm going to tell you right now, my friends, today, I got a better story for you.
Amen.
I got a better story for you. And that is right now that Jesus Christ, well, everyone that's, somebody said, are you right with God? I said, no, I'm not, and I don't know how to do it. But I'll tell you one thing. I know how one has made me right.
Yeah.
If I'm right, he made me right.
That's right.
And I'll tell you right now, I'm satisfied with that, aren't
Amen.
You? I can't explain all this word. I love tried good as anybody. But I'll tell you one thing today, that the righteousness of God that I have in my heart supersedes all the righteousness of the law. It supersedes all that you can do. And everything that you can do, it's not enough. But the righteousness righteousness of the Lord Jesus that's imputed in your heart and soul supersedes, because he is the creator. And because he is the creator, he has the right and the authority to do with this earth as he pleases.
Amen.
And he will do that. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness. Well, I'm not through, I'm going to quit. May God bless you. This is my prayer for Jesus' sake. You want me to go ahead and close out the service, man? If you're here today, if you love these things to teach, brethren, I've advocated them. I trust in a special way that you take special notice to them. And Brother David, we've been here way past our time. But if y'all will get through it, y'all will live through it, all right? So if you're here today, we're not going to shake hands. Because if you're here today, you want, this church is a symbol. Man. They're not only out there on the hill at Macedonia, but the church is still a symbol right here today. And they have the authority to receive you. And if you're here today, while we sing a song, Brother John, what's your number?